Well, good morning once again, everybody, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7, verse 13. It reads, "O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." From many pulpits, preachers claim that because we have Jesus in our life, that we will only see victories. That is so not true. Being a Christian does not exclude one from the hardships or the tribulations in life. And many of us know this all too well. I saw this quote that states, "The church can never be the salt of the world if we keep sugarcoating our message. We will have defeats. God allows defeats to happen in our lives, just like unbelievers. But Jesus will carry us through them." This sermon will examine Israel's one and only defeat at Ai under the leadership of Joshua. And we will draw applications from it. So before I begin my reading, bear in mind the defeat of the Israel army has already taken place. But I want to focus on what God has to say to Joshua in spite of this defeat. So I want to begin reading in chapter 7, verses 10 through 13. It reads, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither I will be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow.' Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, 'There is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you.'" Three applications I want to draw from this chapter is, first, our defeats can come from overconfidence. Second, our sins, they prevent us from walking in victory with Christ. And third, turn to God. Let go of the accursed thing in you. First, our defeats can come from overconfidence. For some people, a lack of confidence in themselves is a reason for their defeats, not even giving them a chance for victory in whatever area in life they struggle. Well, we see the opposite in this chapter. In the book of Joshua, the Israel army is feeling great about themselves. They just defeated the great city of Jericho. Powerful big city, and they defeated it. And now their next adversary is the city of Ai. A city that don't seem too big. The Israelites don't feel challenged because of the size of this city. It's little compared to what Jericho was. So they take this city for granted. Now Joshua, without consulting God, he listened to the spies and decided to only send a couple thousand men to overtake Ai instead of bringing everybody. So the question is, what happens when one is overconfident? When one takes an opponent or an obstacle that is in their way too lightly? They don't prepare themselves right for the challenge ahead. And this is what happened to the Israelite army. The people of Ai sent the Israelites running for their lives and killing some. The application for us is that we can't take any obstacle in front of us lightly without God. For example, many of us have these smartphones. And when we first buy them, a lot of us think to ourselves, I'm only going to use it to make phone calls. That's it. Well, over time, we start using it to surf the internet. We start using it for social media. It becomes our camera. And we're like paparazzi taking pictures every 2 seconds with this thing. Well, over time, that phone becomes an addiction. You see people walking around with their heads in their phones instead of looking straight ahead. That little device is controlling you. It's stealing your time. It's taking away your focus from the things that are way more important in life. And then on top of it, your phone, it sends you a weekly screen report saying how long you've been on your phone each day, saying I average 3 hours a day looking at my phone. That's like a wake-up call. But I'm only going to use my phone for phone calls. You see, we can't... Excuse me. You see, we seem to approach God when things seem out of control in our lives. Isaiah 5:21 reads, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. See, Joshua did not pray to God about how to overtake Ai. He didn't seek God's guidance because he was overconfident. And just like some of us are neglecting to seek God's guidance and help putting down that phone. A little sidebar I want to pull from this is that God is not only here for the big issues in life. God is here for every issue in life. Because not every issue is the size of a Jericho. But mostly, they start off the size of an Ai. But they do get bigger. The issues do get bigger if we do not confront them head on, especially without God's help. Overconfidence in ourselves can be a major problem. 1 Corinthians 10:12 reads, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Proverbs 14:16 reads, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. This reminds me of when Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Let me just take it to that verse. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. First, Peter, he kind of challenged Jesus' words. He didn't think they were true for some reason. But the main problem was that Peter was having overconfidence in himself. You see, we place our faith more in ourselves than in God. One may ask, well, can't we be overconfident in God? Of course we can. But having overconfidence in God doesn't mean that this is going to be our best life now. Overconfidence should be in the eternal things that He has promised. Salvation in a place where there is no tears, where there is no pain, but being overjoyed in His presence. And plus, it's a known fact that man fails God, but God will never fail man. But knowing that God doesn't fail man with His promises doesn't mean that God is like a genie, going to give in to our every want, give in to our every need. It's His will that shall be done. The confusion starts when people place that I instead of God in their sentences. If we look at Peter, he states, I will never be made to stumble. His confidence is more within the flesh than with God. The bottom line is that in our overconfidence, we can say one thing, just like Peter, but do another when we are put in that situation. So it's better to rely on the Spirit than in the flesh. Psalm 118 says, it is better to put the trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The second application is that our sins prevent us from walking in victory with Christ. The second reason the Israelites lost the battle at Ai was because of one person. His name was Achan. And he stole for himself things from the spoils of war in Jericho. And furthermore, Achan did it despite God's warning to the Israelites, which is in the chapter before, Joshua 6:18. It reads, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Sin has a way of affecting not only the one doing the sin, but many others as well. Kind of like if a man is caught stealing and loses his job and gets put in jail, then the whole family of the man gets affected by it. They are without a father. They are without a provider. So yes, sin affects more than just the person doing the sin. Well, this is what happened with the Israelites as well. Because of Achan, the whole Israelite was one. Because of Achan, this was one of the reasons why the Israelites failed at Ai. Now, let's look at Achan's sin for a second. It reads, when confronted by Joshua, this is in Joshua 7:20 and 21. It reads, when Joshua confronted Achan, it reads, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. This is Achan's confession. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So if we break down Achan's sin, he said, I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. This little sin cycle seems very familiar with other stories in the Bible as well. We can look at King David. He saw Bathsheba from his roof. He coveted Bathsheba inquiring about her. He took Bathsheba and had an affair with her. Then he hid it from others. Again, this sin cycle is, I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. Now for one, we can only blame ourselves for our sinful behavior. Not no one else. James chapter 1 verses 13 through 15 reads, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." When it comes to sin in our life, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. So many people nowadays, they don't want to be held responsible, accountable for themselves. So they point the finger. One may blame their creator for their sinful ways, stating, "I was born this way." However, we just read that he himself doesn't tempt anyone, but each is drawn away by their own desires. One of the best pieces of advice I've heard about confronting and preventing sin in your life is to think about Jesus hanging on the cross. Try to imagine the pain and the suffering he endured for you and I. Let that image overshadow you. Overshadow that desire that is forming in you. The crown of the thorns pressed into his head. The nails hammered through his wrists and ankles. The lashing he took, ripping open his skin, shedding that innocent blood. Visualize that. Isaiah 53:3 reads, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." This is what happens when we willfully sin. We hide our faces from him and not consider what he went through for you and I. To esteem is to have high regard, to highly respect. I urge you to try this, because in our Christian walks, we're supposed to sin less as we grow, not sin more. And let's not take for granted what Jesus did for us. I can remember my grandfather not wanting to see that movie, Passion of the Christ, because he didn't want to see the suffering Jesus. He says he didn't want to cry. Well, let that stir in your mind before you willfully sin. Consider the cost, what Jesus did, giving up his life so that you and I can have life in his heavenly kingdom. Without Christ, we are all spiritually dead in our sins. Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 6 reads, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." third point of application is to turn to God and let go of the accursed thing in you. Now for Achan, because he transgressed God's covenant and did a disgraceful thing in Israel, it is recorded that he was stoned to death. My friends, when we have sinned, whether it's against your spouse, your parents, your friends, your co-workers, remember, it's truly against the Lord. And the way to return to God is through repentance. Turning away from those things that lead you to sin. Ezra 10:11 reads, "Now therefore, make confession to the Lord God of your fathers, and do His will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives." Again, separate from those sinful things in your life. Having a contrite heart is expressing remorse because of the guilt. God sees that and He will not turn away. Open up to God. Let go of the accursed things that are in you. Let go of the things that are keeping you in bondage and release them to God. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If you are listening to this message and without Christ, meaning you have not made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior in your life, I urge you to please do so before it's too late. No one can predict their dying day unselfishly. God has given us this lifetime to make a decision for Christ. Not the next one, this one. Let go of the accursed thing separating you from God. Is it your pride? Now remember, your sin bondage, you cannot break it yourself. You cannot do anything of yourself about it, but place your faith in the one who can. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died on the cross for you and I, taking our sin bondage upon Himself. Then on the third day, He defeated death and rose to victory. And we can have that same victory as well. Place your faith in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Praise God for the victories in life, but also praise God for the mercy that He gives us in our defeats in life. Lastly, regardless of the obstacle in life, let us seek God's wisdom. Amen? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the mercy You continue to bestow upon us, despite our defeats in our life. Thank You for the many chances You continue to give us, Father. Thank You for Your unfailing love, Father. I pray that this message has reached the hearts, has encouraged us, has edified us to continue to dive into Your Word and seek the truth that You have given us, Father. Father, I pray that we listen to that still small voice that's in our hearts. And when You talk to us, that we listen, that we become obedient, and not willfully turn our backs on You, because You never willfully turn Your back on us. Thank You, Father, for sending your Son on our behalf, taking the punishment we all deserve upon Himself, shedding that sinless, spotless blood that we are so lucky to cover us with. Thank you, Father, again, for all that you have done, what your Son has done for us. May we continue to not forget that, but let that drive us when the devil wants to tempt us, when the world wants to push us away from you. May we continue to have your strength and the Spirit lead us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.